David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. Today, I'm very excited because I have Dr. Madison Brightwell here today, and she is going to discuss how she helps people recover from toxic and abusive relationships. So, Dr. Brightwell, thank you so much for coming, and why don't you tell people a little about yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much for having me, Stacey. So, yes, I'm a therapist. I have been a therapist since 2006, and I actually started off as a hypnotherapist. And the reason that's important or interesting is that that really looks at what the subconscious mind is doing. And you might not even realize, or your listeners might not realize, the subconscious mind is 88% of the mind, which is kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You've got more than four-fifths of the mind that's below the level of your conscious awareness. So no wonder we are, all of us, kind of run by that subconscious mind.
Right.
And that's the bit that kind of can sabotage us without us realizing it. So I started this Facebook group about 2 or 3 months ago, and it was based on the new coaching program that I'm developing. And the Facebook group is called Breaking the Cycle of Toxic and Narcissistic Relationships, with the emphasis on breaking the cycle.
Right.
Because what I recognized was a lot of people, a lot of the clients that I was seeing as a therapist were coming to me with this very same issue kind of over and over, right? Where they say, oh gosh, I'm in this relationship with this toxic partner, this abusive partner, it's hard for me to get out of the relationship, or it's causing me a lot of pain, and yet I'm feeling like it's really hard for me to leave. But also B, you know, this isn't the first time, right? Yes. That, you know, maybe I had another abusive relationship with another person, very similar. So yeah. I start to recognize this is a pattern. This mm-hmm. is a cycle that repeats. And that's the main thing to recognize. It's not necessarily about the abusive partner. In fact, they might not even be abusive. You might be with somebody who's not necessarily a bad person. It's just not the right fit for you.
Right.
And yet you use that over and over. You make this choice over and over. You know, the interesting thing was when I started realizing about 6 months ago, I wanted to put together this new coaching program, which would be, I like to call it sort of turbocharged therapy, because mm-hmm. with that, you're kind of, you're working on many different things at once, perhaps, or you're just really developing a relationship with the person, and it's gradual, and it's over time, okay?
Right.
Whereas with this coaching program, it's a 12-week program, and it's very intensely focused on this one issue, which is, how can I break this cycle?
Right.
Okay. So when I started thinking about putting this together, this coaching program, I realized that, oh gosh, back in 2012, so we're talking 10 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
I'd forgotten all about it, but I was interviewed by the Huffington Post on how to stop choosing the wrong guy over and over.
Right.
I'm on it. So, and I had recognized at that time that within me, I was making those mistakes.
Right.
Of course, a lot of times we talk about, as therapists, as coaches, we talk about the things we've been through, don't we?
Yes.
How I got through that. So mm-hmm. I recognized that for many years, I had been sort of choosing the same wrong guy over
right.
and over. And again, you know, it wasn't necessarily that I was always with abusive guys or even narcissists, sometimes, but sometimes not. So basically, but I was choosing the wrong guy. It was always the same wrong guy.
Right.
And so once I recognized that within myself, I became aware of it, I became aware of the red flags. And in that interview with the Huffington Post, I said, I was very proud of myself because I had very recently been involved with a guy where I had been able to be wide awake to what was going on and to be able to say no. This right. time, no, I'm not going to do that. So that was really interesting for me to remember that I'd done that interview all that time ago. And now I've developed this coaching program, which is to help people with that specific issue. And as I say, it's very focused, you know, it's on that one specific thing. So I think we can achieve a whole lot in 12 weeks. Also, while there is a component of it that's individual coaching, there's also a component of it that's group coaching. And I do think that's very valuable because.
Yes, definitely.
There's a lot of value in groups that people don't even realize that that being able to hear somebody else say, oh boy, I went through that myself, is so helpful and giving it perspective. So that's basically what it is. As I said, it's starting as a coaching program, which will last 12 weeks. And also, the fun thing is I'm putting together the written material that goes along with every week of coaching. And I'm realizing this is going to make a great book.
It will, definitely. Do you feel that sometimes people fall into toxic relationships or abusive relationships because of the lack of self-worth they have of themselves? Because sometimes people have like a low self-esteem and they don't think they're worthy of anything better. Or they might even, you know, find that they're actually, you know, they come from a dysfunctional family, because 70% of the United States and worldwide come from dysfunctional families. And we tend to fall into that environment and we don't know any better. We think it's normal.
Absolutely. Well, as I actually outline in my program, there are several different reasons why we might be drawn into a toxic abusive relationship. It could be, as you say, that we feel like that's all we are worthy of, right? This broken person is all I'm worthy of because I'm so broken myself.
Right.
Or also, there's the aspect where someone might feel like, I'm the savior, I'm the rescuer, I have to save this person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was me. I'm a rescuer, right? So no wonder I became a therapist. So I would choose these broken people so that I could put them back together again. Well, the problem with that is, A, you can't put anyone back together again because it's up to them to do that.
Exactly.
And B, I was destroying myself in the process. Mm-hmm. And it was not a healthy, equal relationship. It was always very one-sided.
Yes. So,
as I say, it's not necessarily always that you're with a toxic person, but you're certainly with a person who's not able to form a healthy relationship with you.
Right.
So it might be that you feel you are not worth it. It might be that you feel you have to rescue them. It might be that you feel, I am so broken and damaged. Who could ever understand me but another person who's also broken and damaged in the same way I am, you know. And all these things, of course, are happening subconsciously.
Yes.
Go into it saying, oh, I'm going to choose a broken, toxic person. No, I mean, it just happens without us realizing it. And then, of course, there is also the very strong, in fact, I would say in almost 100% of cases, it's based on our primary caregiver relationships, mom, dad, or whoever brought us up, you know. So because that first relationship is so important, it's what teaches us what a relationship is, what love is. So, of course, naturally, even if it's a very dysfunctional relationship, we're going to be drawn to repeating it.
Yeah.
It feels familiar. And the one thing about the subconscious mind is hates change.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very true.
Yeah. So there's all these different aspects. And so what my program does is sort of, you know, it's got that overarching theme of how do I break the cycle? And then within that, we find out what is specifically going on with this particular person. Why are they choosing the same person over and over? Who is that person that they're choosing that's wrong for them? And by the way, this is men and women.
Yes.
Women, you know, men suffer just as much.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So yes, it's really, it's fascinating work. And I've been a therapist since 2006, and I've worked a lot with addiction, chronic pain and trauma, which by the way, also do factor into this.
Mm-hmm.
But what I discovered within myself is I loved working with relationships.
Right.
It's just really fun. Working with relationships is always fun. So that's why I decided to develop the program. And I also felt like there's a big need for it.
Yeah.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I think a lot of people get stuck in this idea that, oh, it's just about this person that I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
And once I am able to either fix them or get away from them, I'll be fine. And that's a red herring. It's not about that. It's about what choices am I making.
Right.
You know, so that's why I call my group Breaking the Cycle.
Now, people tend to sometimes fear change. And even though they're unhappy in a relationship, they're so fearful of change because they don't know what to expect that they don't make any change, and they don't try to better themselves because of the fear of change, not knowing what to expect.
So true. And it's sad, you know, but I you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, you know. I can help to guide somebody who wants to change.
Yeah.
Ready to change, but I cannot force them. And again, you know, if someone isn't ready to make that move, you know, they can't, they won't, you know, they'll say, well, this is very painful, but I don't want the pain of changing.
And yeah.
A bit like addiction, you know, when they talk about hitting rock bottom.
Yes.
That you have to be experiencing very intense pain sometimes in order to mm-hmm. galvanize you to take some action.
Right.
Yeah. Is so great of doing something unfamiliar. And sometimes that's what it takes, unfortunately. But yes, I mean, I can't force anyone to change, but if they're at that level where they're just like, oh, this, I'm done. I have to do something different.
Yes.
So what? I need that help. If they're at that stage, then I can definitely help them. Yeah, a lot of people, though, would rather just kind of stay there in the victimhood of this sucks, but I'm going to stick with it because I don't know anything.
I see that all the time. Now, like for step one, like what would you, if someone knows they're in a toxic or abusive relationship and they do want change, what would be the first thing that you do with them to help them on their way to progression, to positive progression?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, I will answer that by telling you about a lady I worked with recently. When she came to me, I don't think she even realized what was going on completely. She was having these very intense physical symptoms. She was having basically panic attacks.
Mm.
Very intense. She hadn't really had them that before. You know, she went to the doctor. The doctor gave her Xanax probably or something like that.
Right.
So, but she was still having panic attacks. So that's why she came to me. She didn't know that there was a problem. But, you know, what can I do about these panic attacks?
Yes.
Very quickly, we realized that her relationship with her husband of 25 years was very toxic.
Mm.
He was very abusive. He was the only man she'd ever known.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Married him at the age of 17, when she had no idea, you know, who even she was at that time.
Right.
So it was a pretty intense case, I would say. One of the more intense ones I've worked with. So what we but first had to do was identify what was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very often, the person who is coming to me, either about a symptom or even about the relationship, but very, very often, they believe that they are the problem, that there's something wrong with me.
Right.
It's very common, actually, with people who've been abused, even, you know, in childhood, to
yes.
take it self, to take responsibility for it, say, it must be me, there must be something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first thing I had to do with this lady was to start giving her kind of like a sense of who she was.
Right.
Helping her start to define herself again, because that's mm-hmm. another thing. An abusive, toxic partner will very often control you by defining you.
Right.
Tell, oh, you don't like that. Oh, you're not capable of that. You can't do that, right? So they do a lot of this. It's gaslighting, obviously,
yes.
Defining you. And so we had to unpack that. And we had to help her. I had to help her to reclaim herself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lady who I discovered gradually is really strong. You know, she's in her mid-40s.
Right.
And she's highly intelligent. And but she has this inner strength that has enabled her to survive really intense trauma from
right.
both her childhood and this guy that she was with for so long. And so the first thing we had to do was to help her reclaim those aspects of herself, that strength, that courage, that wisdom, all of those things, to reclaim them, to realize they were part of her, and to help her kind of disconnect from the toxic husband. So it's like
right.
separating, and what we call individuating in psychobabble. You know, to realize, no, this is me and that's him.
Right.
The one that doesn't like this, that can't do that. Because that's another thing, they do a lot of projection. You know, they project onto you their own weaknesses and faults. And so that was the first thing. It's almost like to shore her up, to give her that strength, that courage. And so once we had managed to do that, then she was strong enough to recognize who she was and to be able to push back on him and his gaslighting. Now, that was very hard.
Yes.
Very hard. That's why I say I think she's amazing and really strong, because she did. She did it. She pushed back. She's left him, and she's got her own place and a job and all that. And she's done amazingly well in, I think it's about a year we've been working together.
Right.
But she's literally recreated her whole life.
That's wonderful.
And it's really inspiring. And you know, what's wonderful about that is she had really no advantages at all. She came from a terribly dysfunctional home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her whole life really had been about trauma. And yet somehow she had the strength to be able to do that, to recreate herself. So, working with people like that really inspires me. That
yeah.
it's possible.
Well, you're giving them a second chance at life again, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what she said to me, you know. But she did the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I want to remind people, that she did the work. I enabled her to. I kind of showed her the light, and then she kind of went to it, as it were. If you want to use a metaphor.
Now, do you, we talk about the subconscious and how 44% of your thinking is from your subconscious. So do you actually work with them and try to get them to connect with those repressed emotions, that sometimes when you have so many emotions that are repressed throughout a dysfunctional life, you don't even know how you feel anymore. You're kind of numb.
Yes. You know, the great thing is with all my work with addiction, because I worked a lot with addiction when I first became a therapist, this really is very much a part of this. So it really dovetails into all this. A lot of times, because people get addicted to, they get addicted to a certain type of love experience. They get addicted even to an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, bearing all that in mind, yes, people very often use, if you want to talk about people being numb from emotions, people very often use a substance such as alcohol or drugs to numb themselves from emotions that are too painful to be able to experience. So a lot of times it's helping them to recognize just slowly, gradually, gently, that emotions don't need to be avoided. We all have them. All they are is basically information. They're just messages, right? So we don't need to numb from emotions. We can accept them. We can experience them. I mean, yeah, this lady that came to me with the panic attacks, she had a real, you know, turbulent series of emotions, of course. And lots of emotions that she had suppressed because it wasn't even safe for her to feel them for all those years.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Started to bubble up. And so, but she was able to kind of, we call it in DBT, like surfing the wave of emotions, like surfing your emotions. They're not like waves. And, you know, as long as you recognize emotions can't kill you, they don't kill you. They're just there.
Right. It's learn how to cope with them.
Learn how to manage them. Just be with it. Ride that wave. Sadness, anger, distress, fear. Just ride the wave. It's not going to last.
Yes.
You know? So there's a lot that I can do with people through talk therapy, but there's also a lot I can do and they can do with hypnosis techniques or EMDR, which is a trauma modality. So yeah, I think being able to recognize what you're feeling and allow yourself to feel and ride those waves of emotion, that's a skill that you can learn.
Right.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, I'm sorry, for people who don't know what, you know, emotional modality is, you know, can you explain that to the audience, exactly what type of therapy that is?
Oh, yes. EMDR, it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's an actual system that helps people kind of reclaim traumatic memories in such a way that they can process it and therefore it doesn't haunt them.
Gotcha.
Much, right? With the maybe flashbacks, nightmares, or whatever's going on. So EMDR is a trauma modality, and I will use it with people who have PTSD, kind of chronic or complex trauma. It's probably not something I would include in the coaching program because it's going at a very much deeper level. But it's something we could certainly touch on and recognize that by doing that deep work, we can get to those deeper levels with the person once they started the work on this particular issue about relationships. As I say, this coaching program, I think, can take people from A to Z in terms of recognizing that cycle and being able to break it.
Yes.
But it doesn't preclude them also doing some therapy as well, or some deeper therapy later to work on maybe some other issues they have. You know, does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, because you don't want them to repeat the behavior once they get out of the, you know, toxic, you know, relationship. You know, you want to make them feel worthy of themselves and have a self, you know, high self-esteem of themselves. So they, mm-hmm. they look for another partner that is, you know, equal to them or above them, so they don't go into that pitfall again.
What I call it, working on the relationship with yourself,
mm-hmm.
kind of falling in love with yourself, which is so important before they can fall in love with another person.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very valuable to have some time between relationships. If you've come out of a toxic relationship, don't go right back into another one.
Right.
You know, it's not going to work. That mm-hmm. whole thing, the rebound, you'll end up making the same mistakes if you haven't processed what just happened. Okay, so work on a relationship with you, which is about starting to realize you are all you need, all yourself. You know, many years ago, I read this great book called Don't Bet on the Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the notions in that because it was about you fill yourself up. You realize you are all you need, all on your own. Then you meet another person who's also whole. So then those two whole people come together. And that healthy relationship, rather than having a hole that needs to be filled by this other person, you know.
Right.
Because that creates that neediness, you know, which it's not good. It becomes then when you need someone, that also leads to more of a, you know, not being able to allow them the space to be themselves too.
Right.
So it's rather than having two damaged, hurt people coming together and trying to shore themselves up.
Yeah.
Whole people come together and being able to form a really great equal partnership.
So when you have a toxic and abusive relationship, do you ever see the other partner trying to be willing to change, or usually that person doesn't really, you know, see the faults in themselves, and usually it is the person who realizes that it's toxic, backs away from the relationship and leaves.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. I'm not going to say there's no hope. I don't like to do that. And also, I never tell anyone what to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With that, I'm never going to say, oh, you need to leave that person. No, because it's up to them. It has to be their choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's pretty unusual to find the partner wants to change, but not completely. I mean, you know, I would always say there's a possibility.
Right.
Maybe the partner really wants to and is prepared to, you know, let's be open to that. Let's give them the opportunity. Absolutely.
Right.
Doesn't happen very often, but it could happen.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I'm not ever going to, as a therapist, I don't believe in giving advice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They have to come to the self-realization themselves.
They do. Yeah. Because then it really sticks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have said, if they say to themselves, I need to leave this, you know, this relationship, then it's going to stick because they're going to be like, well, I decided.
Right.
Whereas if you decide for them, then like, well, you made me do that. So.
Right. Now, the hypnotic therapy, what does that accomplish? Like, can you explain what exactly it is, the process, and what people accomplish from it?
Yeah, you know, when I went to hypnotherapy school, which, as I say, I did before I became an MFT, and I went for a whole year, so it was a very comprehensive course. They taught us that, basically what our teacher would say is, it's all hypnosis. And what he meant by that was, as soon as the person, your client, walks into the room, you are having an effect on them subtly, you know, and their mm-hmm. subconscious mind, but like kind of dropping these little seeds into the mind, okay?
Right.
So for example, if you were to say to the person, oh, I really believe that you can do this, you know, or you've demonstrated to me that you're capable of this. So you're saying and encouraging positive suggestions to them. Mm-hmm. That is going to seep into the subconscious mind in the right. same way as when you were a little kid and your mom said, oh, you're not very smart, are you? Or, you know, right. oh, kind of, you're too fat or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those negative things got stuck as well. So so that's part of it. So I think the misconception about hypnotherapy is that, you know, the person walks in and you stick them into a trance and then you start making them do stuff. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Not like that at all. And so I want to give people an accurate representation of what it is. Basically, what hypnotherapy, the difference with hypnotherapy and regular talk therapy is that with regular talk therapy, we're just talking the whole time. Mm-hmm. And therapy, we're talking maybe 70% of the session. And then towards the end, I'll say, let's do a little hypnosis. And then it's like everything we've talked about in this session
yes.
has an idea of who the person is and what they need to work on and, you know, some specifics. Also, things like the kind of language they use, you know.
Right.
So all of that is like forms the ingredients for my little recipe that I put together, which is the hypnotic journey.
Right.
So we do that for about 10, 15 minutes. And again, you know, it's not weird. It's really not. It's just like meditation or
yes,
those guided imagery things that you might do online. But with the extra part of it being that it's specifically tailored to you and your specific needs and the way you talk to yourself.
I feel like when you relax and you're able to connect with your inner self, you come to realizations that you don't really realize when you're just, you know, doing everything, you know, day by day, what you're, you know, I think it makes you connect with, you know, and kind of understand parts of yourself that you didn't even realize before.
That's so true. And that's the value of allowing you to, we call it going to trance, but really it's just about being relaxed.
Yeah.
And open. And that therefore, when you're in that state, you're more open, and so you can connect with your subconscious. So that's really all it's about. It's right. not about me controlling you. It's about me helping you control you.
Right.
Right. I like to say I'm giving you the reins of your own subconscious mind so that you can make the changes you want to make that you may find it's a bit difficult to do that.
Right.
In the ordinary course of events. So yes, you're absolutely right. That 88%, it's a bit like an iceberg mm-hmm. beneath the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you're going into that meditative state, you might call it, you're able to access that 88% and change it, you know, in little small ways. And that enables you to control all parts of your mind, not just that 12% that's conscious.
When you have clients that come in and start these therapies with you, how long does it usually, I guess it depends on the person, but when do you start seeing some changes, some positive changes in the person when they begin to start this coaching process and these programs?
Gosh, it's so hard to generalize about that.
I mean, it all depends on the person, right?
Yeah, and it depends on the issue. You know, I used to do hypnosis for chronic pain, for example. And I literally had people who came in with pain 9 out of 10 on the scale and left with no pain. So you might say instant.
Right.
No, in that case, instant benefits. Or there have been times when I saw someone who had usually PTSD from a specific very traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
And again, able to let go of that after one session of EMDR.
Right.
So, you know, that's on that side of the spectrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I say, my lady who was married to the guy for 25 years, I think she did amazingly well because she within 6 months had made huge shifts in her life.
Right.
You know, to my mind, she worked very quickly because she'd been married to this guy for 25 years. It's all she had known. And yet she was able to completely turn her life around in 6 months.
Right.
So, but that took her being very courageous and very willing to change, and also being at, I guess, her version of rock bottom. You know,
Yes.
she needed to. She was in such a lot of pain. And then, you know, sometimes with people it takes a long time because they're afraid to make those shifts, and or they might do little bits, so they might be like, oh, I can't do that. You know, I have this other client I've worked with for a long time, and she's just too afraid to actually make those changes.
Yeah.
And so it's very much up to the person. It's based on partly on the issue they present with, partly on their willingness to change and their courage in actually just applying the things I'm talking about. Now, I also had another client, an example of someone who shifted very quickly. She recognized she was on this pattern where she chose the same guy over and over. And she had been through two very similar relationships and a bad breakup just before she came to see me. And then within about 3 months of us working together, she did find somebody who was very nice, and she was able to form a healthy relationship with him. And that was good to see.
Yes.
She didn't go right smack into it. She learned everything from what, you know, what she had learned from those relationships that didn't work out. She applied everything we talked about. So she, you know, she worked very hard and she got the benefits from that. So I know this can happen relatively quickly, mm-hmm. but I believe my job is to point them in the right direction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then they go, right. So I can't do the traveling for them, but I can absolutely, you know, and if they're ready, they can shift their life very quickly if they want to.
Right. Do you find that your patients sometimes have a hard time letting go of the past? Because sometimes people hold on to the past and it's very hard for them to let go of it.
Well, what you have to find out is, what is it that they are subconsciously, you know, not ready to let go of? Or
right.
what's the subconscious, we call it the secondary gain. It's just the mm-hmm. subconscious belief that there's a benefit in this. So, for example, people that want to lose weight and find that they can't, there's very often some subconscious reason why they're holding on to that weight.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we can uncover that, we can help them to let go of the weight.
Right.
You know, you've probably heard that sometimes people who've been, you know, physically abused,
mm-hmm.
raped or whatever, that they hold on to the weight like a protective
right.
mechanism. You know, I had this client who was, she was a beautiful young girl. She was 24. So she was about 100 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. And she literally called it her fat suit. You know, she'd been raped multiple times. And she said, this
oh,
is
wow.
what I carry. Yeah. But she was able to lose that.
Oh, wow.
Yes. See, again, remarkable shift. Yeah, I think when people are ready, they can do amazing things. And it's wonderful to see that.
So how many different therapies do you offer?
Well, I, as I say, I'm developing this program, which is a very specific for this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 12-week program. It includes the written material and the weekly coaching sessions with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then ongoing support. So that is specifically about the toxic and abusive relationships. Other than that, I also do therapy for all sorts of things, mostly, as I say, addiction, pain, trauma are my three key issues.
Right.
And that definitely plays into the whole toxic relationships thing, you know,
yeah.
oddly enough. because it very often stems from what you've experienced as a child. You know?
Yes, I find that a lot. It goes back into your childhood. When people have issues in their adult life, a lot of times, most of the time, it stems back from our childhood years.
Yes, I'm afraid so. That's when it all gets planted, you know, and then you reap the results.
So can people also do it on Zoom with you? Do they have to be local or?
Absolutely. No, they can. In fact, I only work on Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ever since the pandemic, I have been completely telehealth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love it. It works really well, much better than I ever expected. And I like working from home. So, you know, so that's what I do. I live in Asheville, North Carolina, but I can work with people from all over.
Okay.
Actually, in England right now, I'm just here for a couple of weeks visiting family, but most of the time I'm Eastern time zone, but I work with people all over. I work with people on the West Coast all the time.
Oh, excellent. Now, where can people find you? What is your website?
Yeah. Do you want me to put in the chat my email address? Should I do that or should I just speak it out?
You could just speak it out and then I will mention it in the description. So when people want to visit your website, they can go into the description and they'll have all their information there. But just so people know, you can just verbally tell them.
Pretty easy. My email address is info@drmadisonbrightwell.com. The doctor is Dr. So drmadisonbrightwell.com. And my website is drmadisonbrightwell.com. So that's pretty easy. And then if you want to find me online, you can find me at Facebook. And it's Madison Brightwell 77. And if you go on there, you should be able to also find my group. I would certainly welcome people to join my group because I'm putting a lot of information in the group, like little videos and things. So that group is Breaking the Cycle of Toxic and Narcissistic Relationships. I believe that's the whole title. But you can also find that if you just go to my Facebook profile, or just shoot me an email and, you know, get in touch with me that way.
And that's excellent. And a lot of people suffer from narcissistic relationships too. And it really can be a very, you know, dramatizing experience when you're in a relationship with someone that's narcissistic.
Absolutely. I know. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
You're very welcome. And thank you so much for providing all this good information. And we'd love to have you back on the show and we could talk some more maybe about the post-traumatic stress disorder and some other issues like chronic pain. I think that would be a great topic. People will be very interested in learning how to actually help their chronic pain because so many people around the world suffer from it. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for everything. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.